crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jensen.
The Daily Talk Show, episode 211.
It feels like a Sunday night. We're in my house in St Kilda and the baby has just been... We'll put a nice cute photo of my son up. He was holding the microphone. The ladies at daycare, and I found this out because when I was walking into daycare, I was just chatting to this other mum. And she's like, oh, yeah, you must be blah, 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 son, dad. And I said, oh, no, I'm Bodie's dad. And she said, oh, you work in radio. I was like, oh, I'll take this.
Jeez. Isn't it exciting? There's people who get excited by like E grade, you know?
Not even. It wasn't because she knew who I was. It was just because they mentioned that. And then it segued back to Bodie because she's like, oh, because I asked them, like, Bodie's so talkative. And they said, oh, yeah, his dad works in radio. And so they immediately think my son is chip off the old block.
So you have the luxury of having spent a decent chunk of time on radio. I haven't done like...
You're on the Hamish and Andy show three times? Well, how many times actually?
Probably half a dozen times. But radio sounds a lot cooler than... He's got a podcast. Got a podcast, sounds unemployed.
Well, what are they? Like an arsehole, everyone's got one. That's what the new saying is. Kitty Flanagan.
It's a Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, so it's not Sunday. So a bit of a spanner in the works. Today is the Melbourne Cup. RIP, a horse died in the Melbourne Cup. We won't go into that. Yeah. But
I mean, the thing is that I, not to get on my high horse, if we had a sound effects guy, he would jump in right now. But I think I'd be disingenuous if I was going too hard on the cruelty around horses. I think it is cruel. I don't think it should... probably should happen. In saying that, the reason that I don't really watch is more just because I think it's a bit bogan, not necessarily the horse. Like, I'm not super...
I guess...
You know what I mean? Like, I could say that. Like, it would be convenient. It's like a vegetarian who does it because of their health.
Well, what is it? Virtue signaling when you were like overly active supporting some cause for the sake of it because it will draw attention. I'm not saying you are doing it.
Well, I'm just saying
not even,
that...
You're saying I'm not the opposite. I don't even give a fuck.
Well, no, the thing is I do, but I think that there's probably other things in the world that is just as bad as horse racing that I probably do.
Well, I think...
Like the dog fights on the weekend I go to.
Chicken fights?
The chicken fights.
The roosters. No, I guess you pick which one. It's like... Vegetarians, not all of them do it because of the cruelty part. They're just like...
Some of them love...
falafel. But no, there is. And so not everyone has to come and support the cause for that reason. I don't know. There's many ways. It would hurt my head getting into that conversation today.
Well, talking about dog fights, today Bree and I went to Hawthorne to... Can't remember the cafe. We go there a bit. They do like an eggplant... dish. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Food diary?
Actually. Heritage Wall is the place.
You've sent me a photo of it like 6 months, no more than that, 8 months ago. You're like, oh, we came here for the eggplant dish.
It's really good. Heritage Wall is what it's called. Okay. It's in Hawthorne. Anyway, we were sitting down and we see the waitresses going, oh, my God, like looking out the window. And Bruce's like, what are they looking at? And I'm like, oh, two dogs. And there were these two bulldogs, like little bulldogs.
Hang on. When you say little bulldog, are they bulldogs? Are they those cute French bulldog things?
They might be a French bulldog. They weren't a pug because I was trying to work out.
They're the one up from a pug.
They're the one up from a pug. They look like, because pugs, I feel like I've only seen them in the last like 10 years or something.
Mate, Milo and Otis. I know you didn't watch films as a kid, but you have to have...
Films?
Films.
Why do you say it like that?
Yeah, I don't films. Even know.
Films. That's the Brighton in you. You have these moments. Jules does the same thing. There's these certain words that just come out. And, you know, should we go to the films?
Dance. Should we go to the dance? Yeah. Do you want to go for a dance?
No, so I haven't seen what film?
Milo and Otis. No. And it's these little pugs and... RIP, they lost a few pugs in the making.
Really?
God, if we had Mr. 97 here, I'd ask him to get us the info on how many pugs died during
Australian
Milo
film?
And Otis. I don't think it was an Australian film.
What year? Roughly? 90s?
I would have been
noughties?
A kid.
Okay.
I would have been eight.
Okay.
when I was watching it. So, yeah, that's like 90s yeah. would have been. It's boom time.
Well, we see these bulldogs. Yes, bulldogs. Because pit bulls are banned, aren't they? You can't have a pit bull in Australia.
No, you can have a pit bull. I think you can now. I've seen pit bulls.
Because there around. Is, like, I know that I feel like the US is a lot more lax when it comes to dogs.
Everything.
yeah. Well, I noticed even when Bree and I were watching some old Australian TV ads, we'll just type on YouTube, Australian TV ads 90s, and we'd get all these. There was ads specifically about put your dog, like, you know, your dog, your responsibility. If your dog attacks someone, you are liable. And it's like, put a fence around it. Put a fence. Like that.
It was
whole
a
song.
Jingle.
Yeah, they had a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's as strict as that. It's weird. They're not promoting that. It's probably.
Yeah, well, but maybe. Like it shows how primitive Australia is. Like that was a thing.
That is
so just like
funny.
Fucking everyone just had dogs, you know, running around.
There was such an interesting. Maybe it was Louis Theroux, the documentary on. The dogs, it's so sad. All these dogs
like puppy farms.
Well, because all these dudes in the hood were getting pit bulls, and then just like, oh fuck it, letting them go, and they'd run out, and then they'd have to be captured. And so it was this sad case of hundreds of dangerous animals. These dogs that have been beaten or whatever were in homes, and so they euthanized so many of them. Anyway, back to these French bulldogs that were probably at the cafe for the eggplant.
Just talking about the euthanasia, whatever it is, of animals. Mm-hmm. We need to have Dr. Kim Lam on.
Yeah.
She is a vet turned illustrator.
Yeah.
And she knows all this stuff about euthanasia all the different animals are killed.
Yeah, because you said to me, you painted it perfectly, all animals have a different way that they need to be euthanized. Yeah.
I was asking, I'm like, how do you kill a platypus?
How do you?
I think she said break its arm. I don't know if that's true. I have to run
it. That's pretty funny though.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Oh, thought you were holding it and it'll snap his arm.
But there's rich, well, you can't drown the fucker because it swims, isn't it? But it's... No, there's specific. Geez, it feels very animal cruel heavy. This podcast, I've said at the
no,
front.
We didn't want
I don't like horse don't, racing, but it's not because of the horses. Like
it's not because of the cruelty.
Yeah, no, but I don't like.
It's because of the bogans.
It's because of the bogans. I'm more offended by the bogans than I am about the cruelty. Anyway, we'll have to get her on.
Yes.
But anyway, so these two dogs are walking up. They're sort of near the window and they're about to sort of cross the front area of the cafe.
Yeah.
They're both on leads and there is, I'm mainly watching that, but what there is about 10 meters away is an old lady, probably in her 70s, with a fragile looking dog, little dog, just sort of sitting at like on a lead, but seated as the lady eats at Heritage Wall.
Kelvin came to my mind. The name of the
dog.
The frail dogs are called Kelvin.
I reckon it would be like a one syllable, like yip.
Yip.
Yeah. They're like, yip. Come on, yip. Maybe. Anyway, so the dogs start, there's a kid holding the bulldogs.
Yeah.
And they slow down. And I think it must have been the only thing that I can work out's happened is that he's using a lead that has an extender so it can come out.
Yeah.
And so he's walking past, and as the bulldogs get closer, the dog all of a sudden.
Which one? Zip?
Yeah, no. The other.
The two bulldogs. They're ganging up.
The fucking yip. He's like, and then, like, at first, it's like, it started off just like, these dogs are like barking at each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, like, the dogs are going to fucking kill this other dog.
Yip. Yip's
and so
in trouble.
There's one of the guys from the cafe has got a chair and trying to, like, knock the bulldog with a chair.
French
and
bulldog.
And at this point, I've actually gotten that, like, it's taken us so much. The point in which it made it clear that if I was fucking in any situation, you know, if I was in the Lint Cafe, whatever the worst thing I could do, like just sit there, I would do. Like there's a gunman. If anything bad's happening,
I'm not fucking losing my hot chocolate.
Yeah, I'd literally, I'd be literally the one that fucking got out. But like, I was the only, everyone else is in there. And they're like, what happened? What did the guy look like? And I was like, I don't know.
And so what did you do? You sat? So,
but I sat there, but then I ended up getting up. And the Zip, or whatever the fuck we've named this dog.
Yip.
Has started to run into the cafe, and so I then sort of blocked it in so that it's Yip stayed in while the other dogs. But my heart was racing.
Why?
Because there were I nearly watched a dog die.
Was Yip in trouble? Did he have bite marks?
No.
Did he look like he was bleeding?
The lady in her 70s is yelling, "Help! Someone help!"
Oh.
And that was like the whole traumatic thing. So you watch, "Help! Someone do something!"
Oh, God. And who was the owner of the French bulldog? What are they doing?
He was probably 14 years old.
Oh, that's
bad.
And
he's a kid. And so he's like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry."
Oh.
As the fucking dogs are ravaging.
No, because I remember wanting to take my dog for a walk. Like, you see dad do it, or you just, you know, you see the owner, the boss of the dogs always doing it. And I thought it was so cool to, what if I take, you know, my dog out for a walk?
Mm.
But it happens, dog owners. My brother's told me about fights. There's one dog that goes to the park where he goes. He's had words with the owner, like, fucking pull your fucking head in or something.
Yeah, wait,
he got to be aggressive because his dog always attacks my brother's Staffy.
It's full on. It's Staffy, is that like
Staffy's a Staffy. Staffy is the closest. It looks more like, it's on the way to looking like a, I don't know.
It's like a rooster. It's got, I could imagine it has balls.
They're solid. Well, yeah. Jazzy is a female, so no balls. They've got big jaws and you wouldn't want to get bitten by a Staffy.
Yeah. So it looks like a bit of a bodybuilder of the dog industry.
Yeah, definitely. Big quads. Yeah. Shredding, ready for it.
So,
but yeah, that's scary because I always find like you could probably talk some sense into humans if they were punching on.
Yeah.
Whereas dogs, it's, what do you do? Like if one actually grips onto this other dog's neck and just doesn't let go. Because that's what Staffies can do. They can, they've got locked jaw. And you're done.
Ugh.
And they're just, it would be bad. I've always thought I would probably kick another dog if my dog was getting badly bitten. I'd probably boot the other dog in the head.
It was my initial instinct.
To boot it in the head?
Yeah, no, when I got up, I was like,
killed the two others.
Yeah. Or it's like the fucking kick the wrong dog or something.
Yeah, outcome, the blokes from the Melbourne Cup just to euthanize the two French bulldogs.
Yeah, just all of them. Because, all three dead. Unbelievable. Never seen anything like it.
It's a real woof-woof story.
Yeah, it's got that vibe. So, but it's been a very sort of dog-heavy few days because we were at a friend's house over the weekend and we had a situation where they've got a dog that's probably like 12 it'd be more than 12 weeks because they got it before we went away. So it'd be like 4 months old, but they still sort of consider it a puppy, but it's a big fucking puppy. It did that rah, 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 like nasty bark as if it was going to bite one of the guests.
Yeah, you can hear the tone.
At a barbecue.
Yeah.
And then it was.
Josh comes out of nowhere, boots it in the head.
No. Well, it was funny because
can't stop kicking dogs in the head, Tommy.
Because no, but I'm not good. I'm not good with dogs. And well,
the thing is, you don't know. Like you learn a dog. My brother Staffy, I've seen a relationship form between Bodie, my son, and his dog Jazzy. And we dropped Amy off at an Airbnb. She was staying for the weekend on Sunday, and there was a little Yip there. Mm-hmm. It was an older dog, sweet. It somehow like had rapport with me, and I was like, I've had experience with dogs, and I know when it was a bit funny with me, but I kind of just sort of pat and did the right things, like hold my hand out, patting its nose. Whereas kids got no filter.
Yeah,
they would just want to jump on it. But I could tell that this dog was like, fucking, who's this other little prick?
Yeah.
Who's this guy? Who's this little version of that big guy? And so...
Way more handsy.
It barked.
And what did Bodie do?
He got scared. Kicked in the head.
Kicked Bodie in the head. Just like, I'm so sorry, Zip.
No, but I think you get better with dogs and you get to sort of see the little signs, but still dogs can be so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, I remember dating this girl once and she had two massive fucking shepherds. What are they called? German shepherds.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they're scary. They're unpredictable. They're big and they've got long snouts, long, huge teeth, and they would mess you up. And I would go over to her house and knock on the door and these things would just light up. Like deep.
Yeah,
like,
but that's what you want. Like our dog that we're looking after at the moment, he's great when it comes to – he knows
he's
when
a,
it's –
he's a Labrador, bro. Yeah,
but he barks.
The chance of getting mauled by a Labrador is super low.
Yeah, but it was – but he has the good bark. So yeah, when people come to the door, roof, roof, roof.
Oh, okay, so you're saying good morning.
Yeah,
good
we need to do a montage of all the barking that we've done, like that A Current Affair. We'll put it on our Reddit, thedailytalkshow.reddit.com. You know, the A Current Affair that I'm talking about.
Yeah. These German Shepherds, there's a difference between the dog you're looking after and these ones because they would be barking so rich and it sounded so angry. And they'd be jumping at the door. So, like, it's like they want to sick
you. It's an energy.
But then it's if I actually open this.
Yeah.
Will they keep doing that thing or are they just going to be like, ah, oh, no,
and owners are so chillax about it. Oh, like, have you ever had an owner say, yeah, be careful with him? They're always like, oh, he's lovely. Yeah. He's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's because you're best mates.
Yeah.
He hates my fucking guts. Yeah. Thinks I stink.
Yeah, it's so true. But the I was walking, I've forgotten the name. What's the name of the dog that I'm looking at? Archie.
Archie, yeah.
Isn't that fucking terrible? I haven't built up enough rapport if I can't remember his name. But over the weekend when I was walking him, now everything's changed after seeing this fucking brawl with the dogs at Heritage Wall. But when I was taking Archie out, there's a park about 50 meters away from the house that we're house sitting. And so we can take him without the lead and he walks up. And there was a little like a zip sort of dog. What's the name
yip.
Of it? Yip. There was like a yip style dog. That, and it was off a lead too. And it was walking. And I said, Archie. I said to the owner, I said, oh, he's cool. Like about Archie. He's like, oh, okay, Norris. And Archie just walks past. And as he's walking past, I just say, Archie. And Archie just walks past, yip. No problem at all. No, like, checking out. And the guy, I felt so fucking good. He said, oh, what a good dog.
Yeah. Because he's just got like, a piece of shit.
I was like, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he? Just hoping he doesn't ask his fucking name because I can't remember it all the time.
So funny. So, Messina, mm-hmm. I told you about the other day how they basically got a cease and desist,
mm-hmm.
which is like, stop doing the thing that you're doing. You need, like, in legal terms.
Yeah, so companies will reach out to people and say, hey, you're using our trademark or you're doing this thing we don't want you to do. You've got to stop.
A friend of mine got a cease and desist. He's an artist and he was doing similar artwork to this dude overseas.
Really?
And got sent. And he was actually drawing cartoon characters that this guy was also drawing these cartoon characters that weren't his in the first place.
Stick figure bros.
And so, he got a cease and desist. His uncle's a lawyer and he just showed him. And he's like, fucking rip that piece of shit up. So that was like the first kind of understanding of what these are. And then I saw Messina, they put out like a thing on their Instagram. It's like a response to this cease and desist, which they got from McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big company, you'd probably shit yourself.
Yeah. Well, one of the things around trademarks is that if you are a holder of a trademark, you need to show that you are protecting the trademark.
I remember you saying this about what company?
I can't remember. There's been a bunch.
Disney. No.
There's all like the company that owns like all the Star Wars stuff. What's that called? What's his name? The famous Star Wars dude?
Fuck.
That we're pieces of shit. What's his name?
The
director of the Star Wars, directed
Lucas.
Lucas. Yeah, Lucasfilms. But also remember the melting Rubik's Cube as well.
So
but
Rubik's Cube, they after people.
They came after
your friend.
Yeah, who did like a t-shirt.
So McDonald's came after Messina with a cease and desist after on their Messina Eats breakfast menu, they used something that rubbed McDonald's up the wrong way. It was like a...
Wait, Messina eats... Does this mean... What, Messina's not open breakfast now, is
no,
it?
No, they had... So it says, great. It appears our menu for Messina Eats breakfast all day has rubbed... Which is all day. You can get breakfast all day. I love that they put that in to the wording, just so you know. It must be a Sydney thing because I haven't seen it.
What I'm guessing it is, it is probably like... Do you know what's really good with ice creams is like cereals and shit?
Oh, yeah.
I bet, yeah, it's like... different cereals. That was it. Maybe that's it. That's it. Maybe that's what it is.
They said it was meant to be a Mick tribute, acknowledging those epic breakfasts we've all had. Don't lie, we've all eaten it. Anyway, it seems Ronald didn't take it too well, and they had this massive response, which was interesting. They got into like, they went into the history of the Mick term.
So Messina did. So yeah, Messina was saying, hey, we called it Mick because of this.
Well, they said, I'm not sure if you're aware, Scottish and Irish patronymic surnames okay. frequently have the prefix Mac or Mook. When the surnames were originally developed, they were formed by adding a Gaelic word, Mac, which means son of, to the name of the original bearer's father. For example, the surname McDougall literally means son of Dougal. So then they went to say that this was a tribute, this thing that they used, so the Mick, funny. To Messina, and this key, they said that Messina's founder's son came up with it and that they are using Mick as in tribute to this kid's dad who came up with the Messina. But this isn't about Messina because that was a cease and desist that I saw. And then I saw the Batuta Advocate, which is a satirical Instagram account that just write these really funny headlines that you just read.
They do great articles. Almost, they're like The Onion. The Australian version of The Onion.
Classic. They use always like stock footage, like stock photos that looks really stupid. But
and they'll take, say, something that happens today. They'll turn all these topical things into funny bits.
Yeah, this is one of them. Plainclothes cop blows cover by asking teenage drug dealer to add him on MSN. But I just came across this email that they received. It was like they've just posted it. Batuta Advocate. Urgent cease and desist. It's popular at the moment.
So they've received a cease and desist?
They've received one and it came from Sportsbet.
Mm, so Sportsbet for non-Australians is like a betting company. There's heaps in Australia.
Yeah, so it's like the TAB Sportsbet.
If you want to do a bet on the races or in footy, use the Sportsbet website.
Which this is pretty interesting. So they got this... And they've posted the email, Dear Editor, I write to you as the Senior Legal Counsel at Sportsbet. Please find attached a formal cease and desist notice. As you probably seen from our social media channels and our ads, Sportsbet, as an organisation, is one that enjoys a bit of humour and doesn't mind having a bit of a laugh. However, we have noticed in recent weeks, today...
Should we do reading on the podcast?
Today has been a very tough day for us and your article has crossed the line. So a bit of...
Why has it been a tough day for them?
Their system went down and today's the biggest day in gambling in Australia.
How badly did it go down? Like, has it been something...
Because I was trying to work out this. Batuta Advocate put up this funny thing that, about Sportsbet. Mm. And it's got this guy yelling at his phone.
Because there's a whole campaign that's something around BS.
No bullshit. No bullshit. This is the headline that Batuta Advocate have written. Sportsbet's commitment to no BS Cup Day includes planned upgrade instead of taking bets. And so that's what they're referring to. That was posted like, when was that? 4 hours ago. Okay. And then they got this cease and desist after they posted that. And so they're referring to that specific post about how it's been a hard day for them because it's crashed. And they said, I've been advised that we will be looking at initiating proceedings unless you remove all articles referring to, but not limited to, Sportsbet and the term BS.
This is great for Batuta. This is my point.
They wrote, this is the title of this post, no BS. Yeah. But I was thinking, cease and desists are becoming a part of the content plan. It's like, it doesn't even matter. Like, it's so ridiculous because you think they would have at least reached out to someone they know that knows something about the law and gone, should we be worried about this?
But also there's the there's parody law and stuff around. I mean, yeah. I'm not a fucking lawyer, but there's...
But you'd shit yourself if you got one initially.
I reckon that if you were, you know, like the Batuta advocate, this would be an exciting... This is sports bet writing new content. Without them having to do any additional work.
It's a weird thing because everything is turning into a content play.
Mm-hmm.
All for content. We've been talking about that. But, like, that's funny on so many levels. Like, the company are getting promotion out of it.
Yeah.
McDonald's getting promotion out of Messina responding like this.
Yeah.
It's almost like a cease and desist is becoming useless for brands like this when you're coming up against brands like this because – I'm on Messina's side against McDonald's. Just give it up.
Well, so many cease and desists never actually make it into court, like so most of them.
They're empty threats.
Yeah, well, they're just like – they're the first stage. I was speaking to a friend who she's a lawyer, works in intellectual property, used to be a private investigator who was working for an agency that dealt with finding fake bags. So she would go to – all the different markets, asked to buy the bag, should take photos.
And like then Gucci,
yeah, fake exactly, Gucci, right? Fake Gucci, all that sort of stuff. And then she would go back that day with letters and would hand out cease and desist. And
to so, the same person that gave it over to them.
And so what they would have to say is basically they'd have to hand over all of their product or like dispose of it within a certain period of time and have proof of it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they could be court proceedings.
There was always that talk of Nike creating the fakes, having a factory that actually creates the fakes as well.
I've never heard that.
It could be a conspiracy. Jimmy might have told me it.
Conspiracy,
but no. I think, yeah, I did hear that, but it makes sense. Like, but then you do not want to be seen to be doing that as a brand. Like, if you are Nike, Nike's a somewhat premium product, quite expensive. Like, imagine if people actually found out they were also doing the other ones because buy the fakes because it's still Nike.
The thing that was really big for a while, especially in fast fashion, is the brands who are destroying unsold garments. So if they're a suit company and they've got blazers they haven't sold, they just cut them up.
Because they don't want people.
Yeah, they don't want people. They don't want to. They worked out that it was cheaper for them to do that than it was for them to take it to sort of one of the cheaper outlets for sale.
God, couldn't you just get someone at the head office to just open an eBay site? Sell them.
That costs them a lot of money, and so it is very very dodgy.
It's big business.
Yeah,
We got an email.
Yeah, we do. We've got a couple of emails. Anthony sent us an email. He's written stickers upside down.
How do you write stickers upside down?
I don't understand. I don't know actually how he's done it.
Stickers.
But every time I go to I can see if you have a look.
You flip your phone.
I flip the phone. I thought the phone was going to flip, but
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So he's written stickers, but he's gone on to. To tell us a story. Hey, Tommy and Josh, I was listening to episode 209.
We're really committing to the reading thing on this episode.
But let's see how I go.
You can do it,
there
Josh.
There is one city that I don't know how to pronounce, so I might just say insert city.
Yeah.
I was listening to episode 209 and loved your insights into stalking. It reminded me of a time I had a few years ago, similar to how Tommy was amazed / shocked at what he had accomplished by using the internet to track someone down. So I thought you guys might be interested in hearing this. I had met this girl online. Her name was Amber. She was about 2 years younger than me. I was 21 at the time and lived in Iceland. We kind of became modern day equivalents of pen pals and would message each other about our day and stuff like that. After about a year or two in keeping in touch, we found ourselves traveling to Europe at the same time of the year, and she told me she wanted to meet up. I had a girlfriend at this stage, so it was kind of weird explaining to her that I wanted to change our trip itinerary and go meet up with some random girl I met online. Anyways, On the day we were meant to meet up, Amber bailed and was unresponsive. I thought that was kind of weird. It is weird, Anthony. You're being fucking catfish, but we'll go on. Weird. I decided to do a bit more digging around. Using the information that I knew about her, name was Amber, age roughly 20 to 22, lived in a city in Iceland, and I had a picture of her in front of her house. I went down a very deep rabbit hole that involved using Facebook's people search, which isn't available anymore. But you used to be able to – this isn't him talking. This is me talking. You used to be able to do things like people who work at so-and-so company, and it would show you all of the people that work there. Or you could say people named Tom that live in Melbourne.
Wow.
You could get all those details.
I see why they've taken that off.
Yeah, exactly. So he went on a massive search basically, and he ended up – finding out it wasn't her real name. He found her real name and was able to basically through especially using Facebook's old tools was able to find out all of her family, her exact address, and he was also able to find the house based on the image.
So it was a real person?
It was a real person but a different name.
Wasn't Amber?
Yeah.
What did she want?
Well, he never worked it out. He said that it's kind of at this point I decided that I had gone a bit too deep and realized if it was this easy for me to find out about someone that had been using a fake name, it was probably best not to share my whole life on social media anymore.
Wow.
It's funny because
that's a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted him to go to this person's house. A few questions. Anthony, you had a girlfriend at the time. What the fuck was she thinking?
Yeah, well, so do you think that that's off limits? Do you think that if you were...
If it was pre... Like, what was the initial... We should just get Anthony on. Anthony's a friend of mine. He lives up in Brisbane.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in a while, but he...
Is it your friend? Because I actually did some searching of him. I actually worked out
Anthony
his phone.
Yeah. I've just told him his name. You can search him, probably find him, but he's got a clean slate, it sounds.
Yeah.
No, but Anthony built my website for Suck on That Jules Lund when
designer.
I did the American.
Yeah.
He built Conspiracy Jimmy's.
Oh, really?
A few of his websites.
Oh, great.
He's an epic website.
Yeah, I ended up finding his phone number.
Did you?
Yeah.
You actually got his phone number?
Yeah, I found his phone number.
Yeah. I've got his phone number. I can just call him right now.
That's all right. That's okay.
That's so interesting, though. No, but. I think I would think that if I was talking to someone online when I was single before I had a girlfriend, it would be with some idea that maybe it could go somewhere. Mm. Like I would always think, maybe it is somewhere, you know, things could go well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had one example, but it never felt like that with Sarah Lee, the surf photographer. That was someone who I spoke to pre-Brie. And she ended up coming to Melbourne and we ended up hanging out. And we've hung out probably half a dozen times.
It's more going if I went into it thinking, fuck, this could be a relationship and then I get a girlfriend and then I take her. That's where I'd
that's
find
weird.
It. But if Anthony didn't think it was anything other than just, this interesting person, maybe I could be friends with him. And there was nothing like that and there was no talk of it. Maybe then that's okay.
He also said, pro tip, if you want to find out how much someone paid for the house, get RP data and just do a name search.
RP data?
Sounds very easy. I don't know what RP data is. I'll Google it, but that sounds really easy. Anyway, he put stickers in his subject line, hasn't put his actual fucking address.
I'll text him to say, bro, give us your address. Great story.
But we've had a few other people, Kyle, reach out just before recording asking for stickers as well. You can still get stickers.
Oh, yeah, up until
Thursday. Yeah.
11:59 p.m. is when it closes.
Hi at thedailytalkshow.com, subject line stickers. In the body of the contents of the email should be your address. And if you want, you could tell us
a story.
Oh,
no, but hang on. Maybe Anthony has tested us. This is a test for us to be able to find Anthony's address.
It'd be so easy.
Well, let's do it.
All right. We'll send Anthony, don't send us your address, but we will send you
stickers.
Challenge
accepted.
Yeah. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.